chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says this. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if a son asks for bread, would instead give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." The word of the Lord. Ask, seek, knock, Jesus says first of all. He's not reiterating the same thing over and over again. These are three separate commands and they get more intensive. Ask. Asking is something that you can do when someone's sitting next to you. "Hey, can I borrow that? Hey, I need a piece of gum." Asking is something you do when you're right there with somebody. And surely the Lord is with us. God is here. We simply have to ask Him. You'll remember the prophets of Baal when they go out against Elijah. All the crazy things they try to do to get their God's attention. None of it works because they don't have a real God. And yet, all we simply have to do is ask. Jesus commands it. Ask. It will be given to you. There are times in our life, though, when we feel like God is far away from us. There are times when we don't feel as close to Him. There are times when we're missing the presence of God in our life. Each one of these statements, each one of these commands goes a little bit further. Ask, and it will be given to you. And if not, then seek, and you will find. If you can't ask somebody right next to you, you go and find them. Finally, knock, he says, and the door will be open. Ask. If you feel like God's far from you, spend more time in prayer. Seek Him out. He will be found. If there's obstacles, knock, and the door will be opened. He says this in such an elementary way here. It is absolutely like our children when they need something. Our daughter Zoe doesn't like to nap anymore, which is a tragedy because nap time is very important, especially on Sunday afternoon. And so we still have her go down for quiet time. And the boys nap, and it's, "Zoe, go to your room. It's quiet time." But she is continually, she's gotten to this point where she's continually coming out of her room for anything she can think of to come out of her room. She's went to, today during nap time, she went to the bathroom three times, I kid you not, in an hour, and then comes out an hour later. "Is quiet time over yet? Can I come down?" And of course, we're all watching football games, and so no, just we need more time. We love you, but not yet. And yet it's fun. If Zoe comes out and says, "Can I come out yet?" and doesn't get a response immediately, she'll come find us. She'll come looking for us. If she doesn't see us, she'll come to the door. She'll knock on our bedroom door. You know, she'll come and check. She'll open the door and look in and see. It's elementary. It is just as childish as that, but it's exactly what Christ calls us to do. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you." Still struggling? Well, then seek out God. He will be found by us. Obstacles in your way? Knock and the door will be open. God is not the kind of father to us that makes himself inaccessible. He's not the father to us that you can't reach, that you should feel like your life and requests are so not important that you shouldn't go interrupt him. You might have had a father who had a study and you weren't supposed to go in there. Or you had a father who had a garage at least and you really weren't supposed to go in there and bother him. God is not so. Ask, seek, knock. He will be found by us when we reach out to Him. Christ did not cross the distance between God and man. Christ didn't take on flesh and then die on the cross to be distant. Again and again throughout Scripture, culminating in the cross and in our lives now with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us, God will be found. He is near. You see, the summary for prayer here isn't new advice on how to pray. It's simply to insist that you do it. Ask, seek, knock. And then he compares it specifically with us and our children. He says, how many of you guys, it's a silly parable he puts out here. How many of you guys, If your kid asks for something to eat, would you give him a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, would you give him a snake? Who does that? And he says, and you guys are evil. Which is Christ saying, hey, how much more will your heavenly Father provide everything that you need? Christ simply reassures again and again, God is good. The challenge to us praying is not that he cannot hear. The challenge in our prayers is not that he is not near to us. The challenge in our prayers is that we do not believe often enough that he is good and will answer them. But God loves you very much. He is good and he will answer them. So I say again with Christ, ask, seek, knock. It is dependent upon you believing that God is as good as he says he is and will rescue you. I had, at a very young age, just a wonderful life illustration, a time when it clicked to me how good God was, and I understood it. My family and I, we were all out at the extended family were there, the uncles, the cousins. We were down at Schlitterbahn, which is a big water park in central Texas on a river. Anybody ever been there by chance? All right, it's not important. It's not great. It's more of like a rednecky kind of water park because it's just down the river, you know, but they have some slides along the way. And so you kind of float down. It's gotten better over the years, but it's still nothing fancy. But we were all there together. We're all just tubing along. And I was a little kid. I was a small child. And at one point when, you know, there's a little rapid, a kind of a slide, you go down into a big pool of water there on the river. We all go sliding down it and gather up together over here on this one side while the current goes down the middle. Except me. Now, little Jordan gets over here on this side of the current, and all my family's over here on this side, and I was terrified because I was over there by myself. And then cousin by cousin, well, they were all older than I am, all these college students, one by one try to kind of make their way across and get swept down in the water, and they're all kind of laughing, and they're like, hey, it's okay, we're laughing, it's fun, it's good, it's all right. And I'm over there crying out for help, and nobody can make it over to me because the current's not strong, but you know water, it's strong enough, they couldn't walk across. And I'm over there panicking for what seems like hours, and is all of like 5 minutes. But I have this one uncle, big, strong, tough uncle. I have that one uncle. He's a judge in Texas. He's a serious man. Always had a very good, manly mustache too. And Uncle Ernie, the judge, eventually, after all the cousins can't do it, comes wading across and grabs me up in my tube and carries me back over with everybody else. I was saved. Again, all childish illustrations tonight because that's how Jesus speaks. We need but the faith of a child. Do you believe that God can save you, whatever your situation is? Then cry out to him as a child would cry out for their parent or uncle, because Christ can save. I say again, do you believe that God is good enough and loves you enough that he would answer your prayers, that he would consider your life as important? He does, and he will answer them. Simply ask, seek, and knock. We just have to know that God is better than we are at taking care of people. And some of you guys are really good at taking care of people. Some of you guys have raised children, and then other people's children, and then grandchildren. All the more God is capable of providing for you. Now this verse here at the end comes along that is seemingly unrelated and is a little bit. Christ is rapid fire, one after another, as you read chapter 7, giving the closing advice, like I said, each piece. He's not teaching you how to pray here. He's just reminding you you need to. He gives it in a real simple form. And then he says right there, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do for you. And this summarizes the whole law and the prophets. If you didn't catch it from chapter 5, when he said that he didn't come to remove the law and the prophets, he came to fulfill them, well, here it is. Let's give it to you real simple, the elementary pieces. Jesus says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. It's almost the law for people who are sinners and selfish. It's easy enough to say, what is it that you want done well for you in your life? Let's take that standard and apply it to other people now, which is a bit revolutionary if you think about it. Because when you are a child, the word fair only applies to you. I mean, when does a child cry out for fairness on behalf of their siblings? No child ever said, hey, that's not fair. because they were upset that their sibling didn't get what's fair. It was simply, hey, that's not fair because I'm not getting what's fair. This is a revolutionary thing here where Christ says, hey, he, talking about parents and saying, listen, you guys are evil, but you know how to take, give good gifts. All right, now also take that selfishness that we all kind of have inherent, that self-interest, and do that to other people. And that's going to be a real simple standard for you. Whatever it is that you need and want for yourself, let's do that to other people. And we're going to take this standard and we're going to apply it to prayer. Ask, seek, knock. He will provide. God loves you that much. And then, how would you have liked others to be praying for you? Well, let us pray for them in such manner. Let's be praying for them constantly as we would want others praying for us. Let's pray for them diligently as we would want others praying for us. And let's we would want others praying for us boldly, asking very specifically on our behalf. Let us likewise pray for others in such a manner. Here's how we're going to end tonight. Here's how we're going to close it, with prayer. Let's spend some time doing this together. First of all, we'll do this as we do prayer meeting on Wednesday night a lot. I'll give you two topics ahead of time and then stagger them in there. So we're going to pray silently together. But first, let's just practice what Jesus asks here. It's elementary. It's simple. What's going on in your life that you need? What's hard? What are you missing? What are you struggling with? What issue is there? Well, ask. Let us simply, boldly, and clearly ask. And then after we've done that for a moment, I'll prompt you and say, okay, now let's, in the exact same way, ask on behalf of others who we care about. What's deficient in their life? What are they missing out on? What do they need? And let us simply ask God as the first step to Him answering it. I've said several times, one of my favorite times here at Talitha is the times when we pray together. If you're missing it, come on. Anybody, you're welcome to come along. 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, we meet down here before Sunday school, and we just pray that God would work powerfully in the church. And then on every other Wednesday night, which is this Wednesday night, at 6:30 here in the sanctuary also, we gather for our prayer meeting. We pray for each other and we pray for others. And that one, you don't even have to speak out loud if you're not into that sort of thing. But come along and pray with us. You can pray silently and we'll pray for you. And there's no insistence that you open your mouth or join in a small group. We're just going to kind of get together and pray. And you can out loud if you want to, and you don't have to. But we'll do that this Wednesday night. One of the best things has been hearing God answer those prayers as we've prayed together. What a joy it's been. Time and time again, three real categories that I love to hear answered prayers in that God answers continually, so I continue to pray boldly about Him, is health. God is regularly healing people. He does it all the time. And so we simply say, Father God, I pray for healing completely, cleanly. I just pray that you put this away out of this person's life. Another one is for children. We know and have around us plenty of other friends, even in this congregation, who want to have children and are unable to. It is the most scriptural thing in the world that God answers that prayer. He does it Old Testament and New Testament all over the place. And so we pray and say, Father God, provide this childless family with children. And He does. So let us pray that way. And finally, for jobs, the easiest of the categories. We just say, Father God, I pray that you provide them with a job, and not just any job, a great one, one that they can excel in, one that they can witness in, one that's really healthy for them and their family and provide for them. I don't pray for like a kind of a job. Father God, I pray that you would bless them with an excellent one. And God answers that prayer and has as we've prayed it in the congregation. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to pray. First, I'll say, what's in your life? Ask God. Then after a few minutes, I'll give you a moment. I'll say, okay, let's pray for some around us. And you just pray for who you know in your life and around you. And then if you can make it along, come along this Wednesday night to our prayer meeting and let's share how has God answered prayers. Let's just ask, has God answered any prayers? So that we can rejoice together and hear that He is in fact doing exactly what He said He would do. Ask, it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Let's bow our head. All right, let's begin silently. Whatever's in your life, just ask God about it.